High Noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It is a Tier Tuesday. Go check out Jones and Keith at Keith21, Twitter and Instagram for our NFL head coaching tiers. Mike Vrabel got his own tier. You can go check out the graphic there at Jones and Keith. While you're there,
yeah,
you can check out the new graphic for Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday. We have freshened it. It is a handsome picture of Tom E. Curran. Not that the old one wasn't, but it's a freshened up Tom E. Curran graphic there. Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday. How are we doing this week?
It's the beginning of a new era. It's tremendous.
That's true.
Yeah, it's kind of really like you got some scruff going on there. It's
the dawning of a new day.
Yeah, it's a good look there. It is a
take a look.
Go check it out. See if that's Curran approved, or if you got to go back to the drawing board on that one. But Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday from NBC Sports Boston. It is my contention, Tom, that this is a big week for Drake May coming off the turnover on Friday. He's got two joint practices against a good team, an interesting quarterback in J.J. McCarthy on the other side, who, if I'm not mistaken, I think you liked a lot in the draft class a year ago. And you have
I adore him.
Say it again?
He adores him.
I adore him.
Thank you. And then we got the preseason game this weekend. I just feel like it's a big week momentum-wise for Drake May to build some momentum going into the regular season. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's a preseason joint practice. But that's my contention. Agree or disagree?
I agree in terms of building more consistency. See, I regard that fumble last week as moronic, embarrassing, yet easily preventable. It's not like a read went wrong and he didn't know what he was looking at. He did something really stupid. So it's egregious, but it's so stupid that you're like, well, he won't be doing that again. It's the other things that he's done, you know, the pick to Alex Austin the week prior when they had that in-stadium scrimmage when he should have realized, look, I have to protect the ball. Those bother me more. But I do think that this week, and given the way yesterday's practice closed where they ran 15 kind of high-stakes plays against the starting defense and struggled, might be a little bit of a preface to what they might encounter a little bit this week. I think Drake, understanding the fumble was moronic, but putting it aside because he's had a very good camp, could be in for a tough week because of Brian Flores' defense, and I just didn't like the way that they worked yesterday. I think that they seemed a little spent after the week with Washington and the good vibes that followed. So I'm hoping there's not a little bit of a lag here.
How are you feeling about Will Campbell so far?
Good. Again, you know, the mistake with he and Wilson that led to Drake May's hammerheaded decision wasn't really on Campbell. It was on the communication and certainly on Wilson. I thought Campbell, he's not getting beat routinely. I think he is physically able to do all the things at certainly an NFL starter level. So I have no misgivings about whether or not he should have been, about whether or not they should have taken a left tackle there. They needed a left tackle. They got a left tackle. At least that's solved. Is he the end-all, be-all? No. Is he more than serviceable to the point of good? Yes.
Let's circle back to something you said about a hangover or a lag, I think is the word you used, from the Washington week. Why do you think maybe some of that was experienced yesterday? Is that just feeling good about a strong performance against a team that didn't play a lot of guys? Is there a physical toll to it? Like, why do you think
Just flat. And again, I think they were just flat. You know, they had a walkthrough practice after having had Saturday off and Sunday back a little bit. And then they had a walkthrough practice mostly yesterday. And then at the end, Vrabel called them up and they turned the music blaringly loud. Throughout the practice, both teams seemed to be preparing to, both sides, offense and defense, seemed to be preparing to get exotic and confusing, which Brian Flores' Minnesota defense is. And McDaniels alluded before the practice, we have to understand our keys, know before the snap what we're going to do. And then they ran 15 snaps. Phil had Drake at 4-for-10 with 3 sacks. And there were a number of breakdowns, a number of pressures. So they just looked really sloppy. They had the play clock run out, and Vrabel kind of lost his mind, threw his towel, walked over to one play clock, demonstratively pointed at it, walked down to the other end, pointed at that play clock, and just was basically saying, get your heads out of your collective asses now.
Are you getting the sense that Josh McDaniels' offense, which we have talked about over the last several years, about how it can be complicated and not everybody can pick it up right away, is that getting in the way for, you know, some of the, whether it's delay of games or some of the issues you think they're having on offense?
No, I don't. I really think it was a flat practice, and the things that they were seeing based upon the Flores defense and the exotic stuff was making it difficult. I think that they're going to have mastered at least, you know, the foundation, and the sill at the bottom of the foundation is pretty solid. They know what they're supposed to do. It's when they're confronted with things that they haven't seen before. Because when we think about it, you know, one of the bad plays yesterday was a throw behind Travion Henderson, who was just turned upfield, and it looked like he was a hot read, should have gone into the flat, May threw it behind him, almost skipped it off his heels. You have a rookie left tackle, a rookie left guard, a back, I'm calling him a third down back at the moment, but much more quite possibly, who's a rookie in Henderson, and still a wet behind the ears quarterback. They're going to have some days where they're like, I was not ready for that. And if three of them were and one of them wasn't, the play's still going to look bad. So these are going to be kind of the growing pains I think we'll be seeing.
Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday from NBC Sports Boston. You can check out his work at Tommy Curran on Twitter. You just mentioned Travion Henderson. I was going to ask about this. And maybe you just answered it to a degree. But what do you expect his involvement to be this year? Because I honestly was a little surprised at how involved he was with May and the starters on Friday night. He obviously looked great going right back to the opening kick. How involved do you think he's going to be?
I think he's going to be very involved because you can put a lot on him. He's not, you know, a third-round pick that hasn't really shown anything or played at a high level that they don't know he can perform at. He was the best running back in high school football, the number one recruit at his position going into Ohio State. Injuries limited him from perhaps realizing that potential, ends up a second-round pick, but he's probably their most dynamic overall player on offense when you combine power, speed, quickness, agility, and play style. So you have to put more on him than you would put on Shane Vereen, for instance, or Danny Woodhead, or James White in his rookie year out of Wisconsin. And I use those guys as examples because McDaniels kind of unprompted mentioned them yesterday as, you know, comps for his role. But I think he can be between the tackles runner too. Vereen wasn't, James White wasn't, Woodhead could be. So he's certainly going to be in that type of role, but it could be even more than that.
You know, the first couple of days of camp, we were talking a lot about Steph Diggs, and it seemed like he passed the test of, like, you know, he physically looked good. He was out there and available, and he was making plays. Drake May was throwing to him a lot. And, you know, our biggest takeaway, really, or my biggest takeaway was, wow, Diggs looks pretty good, and he's involved a lot. Since then, it's been pretty quiet. And I know he didn't play in the game, and that's fine. He wasn't the only veteran player not to play in the game. But I don't know. Have you changed your expectations for the season at all based on the last, say, 8 to 10 days of camp with Diggs?
No, not really, because when they played in the in-stadium scrimmage, which was a week ago from Friday, not a million practices ago, even though it's about 10 days, he was very involved. He looked very good. He did have a ball go off shoulder, which kind of negates the point I'm making and turn into a pick, but he's moving well. We know he can catch the football. He did have a drop, again, negating my point. he did have a drop on the goal line to end the practice on Sunday, just by himself, thrown to his hands, and it falls off his hands. But take all that for what you will.
Put all the bad plays aside. He's doing great.
Besides that, though,
I love it.
Yeah, I guess I've done that the entire phone call. Everything's great. Ignore that, looming storm.
Got it. All right.
Okay. Who do you think makes the team in the receiver room? Diggs is going to be on there. Keith and I are in a bit of a disagreement about EC3, Efton Chisholm. Who do you think makes the team out of the receiver room?
I think that Hollins, Diggs, Douglas, Williams, I'm missing somebody.
Booty.
Out of that group.
Booty.
Booty is definite. And then it gets down to to me, it gets down to Baker and Chisholm, and I would say Baker more likely than Chisholm because I think Chisholm can be passed through to the practice squad. Is it a risk? Absolutely. But whoever takes him at the end of August to go on their team, on their roster, has to put him on, you know, he has to play for them. He's not going on anybody else's practice squad. When you sign a guy off the practice squad, or, you know, you have to put him on your team. So, and I might be mistaken. You know, you have to go on the team. You have to go on the team. You can't get picked. You might have a choice to go to practice squad or not practice squad. But to me, I would say it's more reasonable to take the risk. I've compared him, and he's compared himself, at least in what he's watched, to Danny Amendola. It took Danny Amendola a couple of years as a guy out of Texas Tech to catch on, and I think it could be the same with Chisholm. I just don't know that, you know, you have the luxury of keeping a depth slot guy right now on your team.
You know, two of the veteran guys we've talked a lot about throughout camp, Ramondre Stevenson and Kyle Duggar. I thought Stevenson looked pretty good and was running hard in the preseason game. Which one's on firmer footing, I guess, as we get closer and closer to, you know, the start of the regular season?
Can you say the beginning of that again? I started reading a text from my boss, which was rude, stupid, and inconsiderate.
No, listen, it's your boss, Tom. Sometimes you gotta pay attention to that kind of thing. You know, more important than talking to us, I would imagine. But no, I was just saying, Ramondre Stevenson and Kyle Duggar, we've talked a lot about them, whether they're a lock for the team to start, whether they have different roles, whether they get cut, traded, whatever else it might be. I thought Ramondre looked good in the preseason game. I'm curious how you feel about both of those guys now.
I think Stevenson's in a great spot. They just don't have enough running backs, especially with Lane Larison going on IR. He'll be gone for the year. So they, not like he was going to be a big fixture, but at least he was depth. So they need all three. They're shallow in the running back room, and he's a guy who can, you know, play at a high level if he does not drop it. And he gets a little bit of a sliver. So you have three hard running backs. I think he's fine. The Duggar thing is very confounding to me, and I was one of the first folks to point out not just the size of the contract, but the fact that he had to make some hay and show something to this new coaching staff. And he's just been very quiet during all the training camp practices. It's just hard to look at a play and say, oh yeah, Duggar made a nice play on that. And as a result, I think he's being passed over a little bit by Jalen Hawkins, who was a pretty good player last year and keeps showing up in camp. So Duggar, I know, has been working with the twos the last 2 days. It's probably a big week for him in Minnesota. He would be a guy that, you know, they don't have to – they can accept some dead money against the cap if they released him, and there would be dead money even if they traded him. But when you get traded, your salary goes with you to your new team. What team is going to want to take a player from a team that, you know, was one of the worst in football last year? I say the same thing about the Chisholm situation. Our team's going to look at the Patriots' refuse as something that they definitely need to have. So I think Duggar needs a big couple of weeks because it's been very quiet and there are signals that he's falling completely out of favor, which again goes back, guys, not to be too long-winded, but I'll be long-winded. It's the same thing that we saw with Cardona or Andrews or Godshaw or Wise or Jonathan Jones, guys who you thought were staples and the type of guys you'd want to keep around who are being kind of shunted out.
Okay, why is that? I mean, is that just you want to move on from the past Bill guys and Mayo guys, or was there an issue with the player leadership a year ago? Why is Vrabel seemingly making a concerted effort to move on from those guys?
I don't think there was player leadership issues with those guys. I just don't think, honestly, perhaps that they're very good. I don't think that you're going to walk in as the new guy and say, we can't do better than this person. I think that might be the crux of the issue more than anything else. You know, with Andrews, he was hurt last year. He's had the injury history, or at least the illness history. And did the Patriots say, well, we can probably do better. He's an unbelievable person. We love him. Everything about David Andrews, what we're looking for in a player, but we have to try and get better. We're going to do that. So I think that is generally what my feeling is. Look, we're going to go out here and try and get better. Do we need Jonathan Jones on the corner, who's a great person? Or can we do better with Alex Austin, who's a little taller, and perhaps who's the other dude? DJ James. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Marcus Jones can do the things that Jonathan Jones does. So I think the crux of the issue is, like I said, they were a bad team, and those were just guys who were the leaders on a bad team. Not bad guys, not bad leaders, just not top flight players who couldn't be replaced.
One more quick one, Tom, before we let you go. We're not going to talk to you again before the game on Saturday. How much do you think May will play? Like a half?
That would be hard. I said two series last week when I talked to you guys, and that's what it ended up being. But I would say a quarter and a half, maybe. It depends how much work they get done. That's the interesting thing. This week they have two joint practices. You can orchestrate and get as many reps for your ones as you want to if you're Vrabel and Kevin O'Connell. So, you know, would they, you know, treat those as their more marquee events and then make us sit there on Saturday afternoon and watch a game of, you know, guys who aren't going to make the team? That's possible. So I have a harder time spitballing it until we get later in the week and see how much the ones went against each other on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. He's Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday at high noon. Tom E. Tuesday. Check him out, NBC Sports Boston. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons and at Tom E. Curran on Twitter. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, thank you.
Tom E. Curran joining us here on Jones and Keith. Some interesting stuff there. It's a good point about the joint practices.
Yeah, they can get a lot out of that.
He's with you on Baker over Chisholm.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know. I think they might just keep five.
Right, but if you're...
I think
in
Chisholm's
the case they were going to keep six, don't even have Chisholm on there.
Right.
And he thinks Duggar has no market. Interesting.
I would agree with that.
No market for Kyle Duggar.
That's why I would just keep him. Unless you think he's going to be a real problem, I would just keep the guy.
I'm not in favor of just cutting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he can just rot on the bench for all I care and at least he's some depth. If you think you can get something for him, get something for him. If other guys have passed him by, but Curran doesn't make it sound like there's much of a market there.
I also don't really know, like, are we sure that, like, Woodson and Hawkins deserve more playing time?
No,
not you, but I'm saying, like, in general, like, I don't...
It seems like the coaching staff feels that way. I have no idea. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number, not to be confused with Curran's phone number. He's getting texts.
Yes, yeah,
boss.
Text him mid-sheets. A good answer, Tom. Good answer.
Hopefully everything's good there.
Yeah, I know.
Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. Let's circle back to Drake May. Curran just told you how much he expects him to play. I think it's a massive week for Drake May. We'll get to that right after the update.